Well, just for clarification,
like
she didn't say candidate, she said LSD members.
Are two people talking?
Excuse me, yes. Harrison, you were answering the question?
Well, I'd like to use an opportunity to mention the software that Les Radke purchased and that scans the ballots. I don't know if some of you have been involved in previous elections, and you know that the entering of the information on the ballots is very time-consuming, and there's opportunities for errors. And I think that you're going to like the software that is now the property of Pacifica that will scan the ballots and did read the barcodes on the envelopes. And so, I just want to report that, and hopefully everybody will like
one
it.
One other quick report.
Yes, and then Richard is almost there. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, one aspect of this program is that listener sponsor ballots and staff ballots, or, programmers and so on, in the station election, they don't have to be separated. The software actually does it automatically. So you can go into these ballots and just put them in without regard to whether they're listener sponsor or staff ballots. The computer actually makes the delineation and processes out the results totally separate.
Mm-hmm, very good. Richard?
Melinda Alley-Jones.
Well, a couple of things, just to comment on the software. I think it worked fine, but I think, 2 years ago when we did the elections, I just observed this time I helped the counting, and the time before that I helped in the counting when I wasn't a candidate. But the time before when we did it, I think we had two scanners going at the same time, and I think that really, made things go a lot quicker. When you only have one, we were down there in Berkeley. I left at 2 o'clock in the morning because the night before I'd been up till 4 o'clock in the morning working on a legal brief. So I was half dead when I got there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But some people stayed all night and it wasn't finished till early the next day. And we had 3,800 ballots to count. So it shouldn't, it was actually fairly quick, but the envelope counting was slow. But I think if we spent the money and purchased another scanner. First of all, the nice thing about having two of them is in case one of them broke down, then you could continue on. But with two of them, you could really do it in a whole lot quicker time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes good sense. Melinda, do you want to be on the staff?
That's the comment on that. I'm not done, though. I want to ask some questions about people. Don, you said that everybody started jumping in and asking people to send in their ballots once you found you were having a problem with quorum. What was the air time like before that? That's right.
Well, this is Don. Yeah, I mean, most of the candidates in their carts also encouraged listener sponsors to vote, and there were on-air announcements. I mean, we did have, I don't know if Harrison and Terry would agree, but we did have a level of motivation, and it was not, in a sense, a lack of cooperation from the station or the lack of on-air announcements. I think that the national elections, the fund drive that really came right up very close to the elections, there were a lot of objective realities here. So maybe Harrison and Terry and others, I can't remember anyone else from our signal area, I thought that the on-air announcements, I mean, in my cart, I really motivated people to defend democratic governance of the foundation and the network, and people said, yeah. But here's what I discovered. I went to a demonstration a few nights ago when the Israeli prime minister was in town. And a lot of people, when they saw me there, they said, oh, that's right. I have a ballot at home. There's an election, Don, isn't there? And I said, yeah, dig it out. I think there are a lot of ballots under stacks of mail somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Point of information.
I just asked Don one more thing. Can you quantify for me what kind of coverage there was? I mean, I have no idea whether you're saying that things were mentioned. Let's say from October 1st through October 20th or so, before the ballots got, how often on the air did something about the election get mentioned?
Why doesn't someone else from the signal area take that?
Point of order.
Yes.
What station are we discussing right now, and how much time is left for the...
There's 1 minute left, and this is KPFK. Does someone else want to answer that?
I'd like to move that we extend the time for this discussion a little.
Of KPFK?
Or of all of the stations.
Well, we're allotting 10 minutes for each station, and if we want to extend for KPFK, but no one seems to be...
Didn't need it on the other one.
Jumping to answer it, no.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I misunderstood how it worked. Yeah, I'd like to have a little bit more time for KPFK. I think the problems of reaching quorum are worth discussing a little more.
Thank you. Would whoever is doing dishes perhaps mute yourself?
Is there anybody out there from L.A. who can give me an estimate of... I mean, I can tell you what happened to KPFA. Between October 3rd and October 25th, we had no mentions. None. So I don't know what you guys had, but I'd be interested to know if you did have much, systemic advertising in the election during that kind of time period.
If I may interject here, one of the points that I listed under new business is a collection of data and information from the elections, and this is exactly the kind of question that we should be collecting and reporting on, I think, in some way, perhaps after the local supervisors have made the reports or perhaps independently as we decide. But I think that's a very good question.
It is.
I'm not surprised that no one has the data at their fingertips, but I think we should work at getting that.
I couldn't give a authoritative actual number, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. I believe that our fund drive impacted because we had nothing going on during fund drive, and then after fund drive ended, we started working on this. But Harrison,
tell me the time period of the fund drive. Remember?
When was it, Don?
Point of order.
Yes, Rain.
The purpose I thought of this was to sort of update each, provide us with updates about what was happening in each area, not to engage in what is essentially the things that we would expect out of a local election supervisor report. I'm concerned because it's already 9:30 here in New York, and I'm wondering how much longer we're going to be. I think the quorum issue, I think that's an important issue. But at this point, whether the card was played 3 times a day or 12 times a day, while I want to know too, I don't think we need to know that right now.
They could have answered me in the amount of time of your objection.
If anyone wants to extend, if anyone wants to extend the time, we're 1 minute over. Do I hear a motion to extend for KPFK?
I think.
Did Harrison ask to extend to discuss the issue of quorum, which is key since they have not yet met quorum and they have until the 30th to do so, as opposed to how many times was the card played a month ago?
Are you asking to extend time, Serena? Because we're out of time and we're going to have to move along.
Harrison asked.
Do we have a couple more minutes? There's one more thing I'd like to say.
All right, three more minutes, Harrison. Is that satisfactory?
If no one else has much to say, that'd be great. I can do what I say. I think I can say what I want to in a minute.
All right, please.
Excuse me, point of order. I had a question out there which nobody answered, which take 1 second. I just want to know the dates of their fund drive.
This is an embarrassment. I'm in a public place and I'm trying to remember. May I actually post to the listserv later tonight?
That'd be fine.
This information.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I just don't want to give the wrong dates.
But you can give me an estimate now and give me the exact one later.
I don't know either.
Well, the thing is, I prefer to be accurate rather than give estimates, and I think people have a right to know when our fund drive, it was extended for 2 days, and to meet our goal, and I would prefer to post to this committee's listserv the exact information.
Thank you, Don. Point well taken. Harrison, you have 2 minutes left.
What I wanted to discuss was some of the problems with the mailing of the ballots that I think contributed to our problems with the quorum. A lot of people got ballots that were addressed to somebody to their correct address with their correct first name, but the last name was wrong. Mm-hmm. And that resulted in a lot of people getting, we traced that back to the volunteer file. Somehow or another, a lot of long last names got into the volunteer file, and that resulted in a lot of duplicate ballots. Because when you went to get rid of the duplicates created by the fact that some people volunteer and donate, they got ballots from both places because their last name had been changed in the volunteer file. Mm-hmm. And I also think it's that some people were reluctant to vote a ballot that was addressed to somebody other than themselves. And it also appears that a lot of people who volunteered in years past and aren't very active anymore did also receive ballots, and I think that diminished our quorum. And so, and we didn't do what was done, and we don't have time to do what was done in Berkeley locate the kind of duplicates that are in all lists of, you know, people with slightly different names one time and slightly different addresses, and then you got to call and make sure it's really a duplicate. And we could have gotten rid of some of the deadwood on the on our list that way and reduced the quorum requirements some. And I just want to mention that because I'm afraid that this is another instance of the difficulty of having an accurate volunteer list. It's really hard to keep track of who's volunteering and when they volunteer and making sure that their duplicates don't enter into the system and all. And I just think it's been a continuing problem, and we should be aware that it resulted in some pretty severe problems for us in Los Angeles this time.
Thank you. I'm sorry, we're out of time on this issue. If I may, who would like to take the next report?
I would. This is Ted. May have to get off the call fairly soon. Can we?
I'd be happy to do that for KPF.
Yeah, I would like to ask Melinda to take about whatever length of time she wants, and I would like to then supplement whatever Melinda has to say with a report from KPFT.
Well, all right, Melinda. Why don't you go ahead? We have 10 minutes in all, and if you begin, Melinda, and just try to maybe leave some time at the end for Ted, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Essentially what we had, given the fact that I work quite closely in both the 2004 and this particular election, I must admit I was rather dismayed because I found that, unfortunately, we had a total 180-degree difference between this particular election and the last election in terms of what I observed directly with the two different supervisors and how they received cooperation from management. We had, I don't know about other stations, but we did have a change in our program director. And this current program director really didn't seem to like our supervisor and made it a patent, you know, patently just said it. And the problem I had with that, and a lot of us did, was the fact that they were hired to do a job and they weren't there for a popularity contest. We had problems of getting our cards played. We, of course, also had quite a few issues that unfortunately flared up and played themselves out before you, so I'm not going to bore you with the details, which included the assault of our supervisor on premises of the station. So, by one of our candidates, of all the people. But it's been a rather, I think, arduous task. And I'm really, frankly, quite embarrassed that this person did not get any more cooperation because she put a lot of effort into it. When you consider the fact that, for example, with the cart that was done for the first of two fund drives that happened during our elections, she did one that was specifically aimed toward elections, and yet it was not played. We had one particular lovely person that actually went on the air and told people not to even vote, which is real fun when that's a person who's an on-the-air personality and even referred to one of our candidates as a communist. So, like I said, this has been a very embarrassing election, and I'm hoping that the next election we will not see that same type of issues. Now, you will note I emailed everybody. Did everybody get their emails?
I did. This is Jane. I'm not at a computer.
Okay. I emailed everybody the results of the tabulations, we needed to get 103. I'm not in front of my computer right now. I'm in another part of the house. But if memory served, I think we got 163. So we definitely exceeded quota.
Very good.
So that's all I have to add.
All right. That's fine. Ted, do you want to supplement?
Yeah. The carts with the 57-second reports from the candidates, and I think we had about 18, I could be wrong, but somewhere around that number of people running from the listener component, we had about 18 people running. And they were run 18, I think, hours a day. I'm not sure about the middle of the night, but they were pretty much run from 6 o'clock in the morning until at least midnight and maybe later. I don't know that I listened beyond that. They were run during the fund drive because I think a management decided through it during the process that the ballots were not coming in at a very strong rate, so they decided to include carts during the fund drive. According to an email that I received from our election supervisor, there were 52 people. The base quorum was 52 of the staff and 951 listeners for a total of 1,003 completed ballots required. There were 1,064 ballots returned. Now, I'm not clear on whether we achieved quorum or not based on this information. I thought that you had to have a certain percentage of staff for that election and a certain percentage of listeners for that election, and I don't know what that number for staff was and what that number for listeners was. But as I said, there it says here that the base under base quorum, it says 1,003 completed ballots are required, and 1,064 were returned. But how many came from each pool, I do not know. And if Melinda has information that either supplements what I'm saying or contradicts what I'm saying, I would hope she would share it with you. But I am not clear that even though the election supervisor has said the quorum was achieved, this data does not confirm that for me. I'm done.
All right. Any questions?
I would say that, given the fact that this particular matter was discussed, I'm fairly sure with Les, I stand behind my election supervisor. She is the person whose name goes in the seal. She is the person for whom all responsibility falls. So it's all on her shoulders. So for that reason, I don't have any reason to doubt her.
Well, I'd like to add one other thing.
Yes, Ted, we have a few minutes.
Okay, this would apply to everybody, and this is real quick, and that is that it would have been very helpful if the return envelopes for the two different elections were of different colors. That was stated by the election supervisor, so that they would have been able to see whether or not we needed to drum up a response from staff.
Actually, I know how they did it, but you're right. You're absolutely right. We should do that. They went by the actual numbers on the ballots. They were able to figure out which ones were staff and which ones were listener based upon the actual PIN numbers and the series. But that is right. In fact, that was a suggestion that I wanted to be made for the next election. I think they really should have different colored ink for each one.
We had a question. I'm not sure who was putting a question in here.
Yeah, Serene. I think Belinda might have just touched on it. You did the supervisor, in fact, get, for example, in New York, staff ballots began with 800,000, were the 800,000 sequence, and listener ballots were the 400,000 sequence. So I'm assuming that that's the same in each area.
Yes, you're right, Serena, absolutely.
So that they did receive at least 52 of the staff codes, right?
You betcha.
Okay, thanks.
Point of information here, are the quorums calculated separately for listeners and staff?
Yes.
Yes? All right, thank you. All right, Shireen, do you want to do New York or Richard? I don't know who wants to go, KPFA.
Well, I can report.
This is Lauren, Carolyn.
Yes,
now
Lauren.
Ask questions, or are we going to ask questions at the end?
Well, we have 10 minutes for each station, and if we want to extend, we certainly can. Do you want to move to extend? I'm sorry?
I was just asked that we extend for, 3 minutes at the most.
For KPFT, do you want to discuss T for another 3 minutes?
No, I think KPFT is pretty well. I think that's about all we really have to say.
Well, Lavarne, did you have a question you wanted to ask?
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, if no objections, are there any objections to extending for 3 minutes?
Not at all. I'd be happy. I'd welcome any questions.
All right. Hearing none, go ahead, Lavarne.
Thank you, Carolyn. This is just quickly. Do you have a number of from less in terms of the undeliverable ballots for KPFT?
I'm afraid I don't have that number in the report that I received from our election supervisor, no.
I was in the office. I can't really recall the exact number, but I thought it was somewhere in the, 50 to 100 or something like that. So I was just concerned because some stations had really high numbers, and do we think Les is going to come on eventually tonight?
I think Harrison said no, that he spoke with Les, and Les said not.
Okay. All right then. Yeah. So that's an issue still in terms of cleaning the list and updating Memphis for the undeliverable ballots. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that we did that I thought was outstanding, and bless her heart for doing it, on the very last day, a couple of days before, Tucker had sent out an email to everyone saying, "Look, I understand there have been some problems with the ballots, but I'm going to have copies of the ballots. All you have to do is show up at the station any time on the 15th, and I will be there." And she actually set up camp in our boardroom. She brought in snacks. She brought in pretty lilies to dress up the table. And she basically sat there with a mailbox glued. There was actually taped to one of the posts in our boardroom. And she basically sat there, and if you came in and said you didn't have a ballot, you signed a list, because that way they could go ahead and null and void your PIN number from the one that had been mailed to you. So we were able to get 78 ballots that way from people that showed up at the station between, and we had as many. I was looking back at my list, and if you look on there, you'll find that we had people that came up between 9 and midnight. I believe there were 6, if memory serves, that showed up at our station, and she made it a point that it was covered all the way up to midnight. So if anybody showed up, they got a ballot, it was counted, and they made sure that they signed so that we would not double count them.
I would like to add that this was something that was added at the last minute. It seems like an appropriate approach to take, but it would be wise in the future, it seems to me, to announce in the very beginning that not only can you mail in your ballot to the post office, but on the last day, all day long, or from 8 o'clock in the, I guess it was 11 o'clock in the morning until midnight, people will be given the opportunity to bring them in. That was not a protocol that was established in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
This is Harrison.
Good
I'd like
point.
To make another short comment.
Yes, Harrison.
I think there's quite a few people that would like to see colored envelopes. And our election supervisor mentioned another reason for it. At this point, he would like to be able to say, you know, look in your pile of old mail and dig out the yellow envelope. You know, so it would be nice if we had. Not only would it be nice to be able to distinguish between the staff and the listener sponsor ballots, it would be nice to have a colored envelope that we could refer to.
Well, I hope we're all writing these suggestions down so that when this committee makes its recommendations, we can include them. I haven't heard anything that shouldn't be included yet. Good point.
I would like to point out that the I've heard from 4 of the 5 stations that carts were not run during the fund drives, and I think that the running of carts perhaps not only was not an encumbrance, but was actually an asset to the fund drive in Houston. And this suggestion that the elections are completely forgotten during fund drives is a totally wrong approach to take, which was the previous attitude of management here in Houston, but they changed their mind this time.
I'd like to point out that that was correct for the second fund drive. We had two fund drives. The first fund drive, I can tell you for a fact that we did not have any commercials played during there, even though she had specifically
commercials.
Made commercials. Yes, carts. Ted, she did. I know for a fact because I was on the committee. They did not play them for the first fund drive. We had two particular fund drives during this election. The first one, they didn't. On the second one, however, Dwayne Bradley got behind it and made sure that on the second one, yes, they played them. But they didn't do it on the first one.
I was only taking issue, Melinda, with the, you used the word commercials. Mm-hmm. You corrected yourself. I agree with you, and that's great.
I agree that
Dwayne did get behind it, and that was a good thing.
I just wish he had gotten it earlier, but then again, hey, hindsight's 50-50, and we can't slide him for the fact that he did actually come around, so, I mean, I got to give him credit for that.
Hindsight is 20-20, but that's okay.
I think we're out of time on tea. Pardon? All right. I think we're out of time on tea. Who would like to speak next? Richard?
I'll give a report on KPFA if you want.
All right.
We made quorum quite easily. We had 3,983 ballots come in. Quorum was about 2,603. Additionally, we collected about $2,600-plus from the request and the ballot booklet asking people to donate. In fact, I was there most of the evening when the whole time we were opening the envelopes. I didn't leave until after they started counting the ballots, a couple hours of that. But there were, I think, at least two or three $100 checks that were sent in, and three or four 50s, a lot of 20s, 10s, and 5s. Some people even sent cash. There was, you know, about $40, $50 worth of $5 bills and stuff like that. So, you know, our audience, our listeners responded to that, which will be good to help offset the costs. I hope other people had some success with that. We had, you know, quorum is one thing, and I hate to be looking at quorum as a minimum. I believe in, you know, massive inclusive democracy, and I'm concerned about the fact that our management basically, you know, stonewalling against it. After the fund drive ended, it was still about 5 or 6, maybe 7 days before any cards started playing because, as I found out from going over it in my capacity of chair of the board and asking questions, you know, I found out that she hadn't authorized anybody. The cards had been recorded. She hadn't authorized anybody to put them together, any staff person to go put them together. And so it was about a 3 or 4 day holdup on that where I talked to Mr. Radke and found that out. And then I went and talked to Mr. Guma and started, you know, kind of saber-rattling a little bit because we had passed a motion. It was a very watered-down motion about requiring stuff, but it was, you know, it should have started and it didn't. And finally, I think he wrote her a letter and the IGM and got things moving. But there again was, you know, if they're not going to do it in a fund drive, that's one thing. I totally disagree with it. I remember the first couple of fund drives when we had our very first LSB elections. And it was a hot topic, and it was exciting, and people were telling people, hey, join up, you know, you get to vote and be involved with listener democracy. That was not mentioned at all this time. I mean, it's like nobody, they didn't want anybody talking about it. And I think, you know, that could be a very important part to get people involved. But, you know, minimally, even if you're going to do that, the minute the fund drive ended, the cart should have been ready to go, and actually they'd been partially done. Some of them weren't finished, I don't think, because people were out of town. But they should have, you know, the next day they should have just been started playing. But they didn't do that either. So, and I think there was another thing that happened, which has been talked about quite a bit. And, you know, I'm not going to speculate other than I'm just going to report the facts. I have my opinions about it. But one slate out here raised money and sent out a mailer. And that mailer arrived with the ballots. So it was basically what people had before them. No cards were playing when the ballots came out, and nothing had been done since October 2nd about the election when the ballots arrived on the 17th or 18th of October. And so, you know, they got, I think, quite an advantage because about 800 or 900 ballots were picked up and some more were in the mail before any cards started playing. So that mailer had obviously... You know, it was the only other influence anybody was getting in any mass way. And I hate to say this, but the manager is connected with him, spirit at least. I don't know if she was directly involved, but the group that she's associated with the station, endorsed that slate. So
point of order.
That's, you know.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
I meant that on paper, but, you know.
I'm sorry. Can I be heard? Point
yes,
of order?
Yes. Yes, sir, Ann.
If members could make a report without taking pot shots at the staff, it's like it is possible to provide basic information about the process without assigning motive or claiming association.
I'm going to rule that objection out of order because of the inflammatory language. I think there was an opinion expressed about a connection which might be relevant.
Well, I can document that with paper.
Facts, not opinion.
Well, I think your language was a bit inflammatory, so I appreciate
it
if you would avoid that.
I'll say facts, okay? The point is, there was dead silence on the air while one group's mailer was in everybody's hand. So, and there was a connection, and I'll send all the documentation out to all of you. I'll be glad to do that, so you'll see the connection. I wrote a paper called the LSB Dismantlers Consolidate Control of KPFA. I'll send you that too. It just shows it all in black and white. But anyway, the point is,
I'd like to be on the stack.
There's a tendency amongst certain groups and certain management people to really, really want to downplay the democratic process. And if we're going to survive with this, that has to change, or we might as well give it up. It's got to be one or the other. We can't stay in the middle of this. Elections have to be inclusive and out front and advertised and promoted and part of the culture of the station and the airtime. Otherwise, we might as well all go home.
Stack.
All right. There's a stack. Who wanted
Ted.
To be on the stack? Ted,
yes.
Please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. I think I'm both in sympathy with Serene's point of order and with Richard's comments. That may seem contradictory, but it seems to me that if what Richard is saying is true, and it does, and we don't have any rules in place, then what the general manager did perhaps is not impugnable. And if Richard is suggesting,
legally.
Well, let me finish. If what the general manager did is a violation of our rules, then steps need to be taken to take the general manager to account. But we can't start creating rules that don't exist and then impugn people's character. I think that what we do need to do is to look at what the rules are, and if rules are lacking, we need to look at the possibility of creating some rules. I would also like to suggest just a general statement, and then I'm done, and that is that if we don't get our act together in terms of these elections, and we start to become powerful, which we're currently not, I'm talking about the network, when we criticize other elections and the whole democratic process as far as general elections are concerned, we're going to look like hypocrites, and we are going to be extremely embarrassed. So we better get our act together, and we better get it together soon.
All right. Thank you.
Let me tell you.
We're almost out of time here. We have 3 minutes. Who's speaking?
Richard.
Richard again.
I have a point
what
of information.
Said, out in the Bay Area, people already think that.
Mm-hmm. This is Harrison.
Because of all the problems we've had out here, the cart plays out here were inconsistent when they were. Some carts got played two or three times in a morning. The logs of them are inaccurate. I mean, it was, there was a lot of different things going on that didn't make people real happy and start feeling like Ohio and Florida type stuff.
Yeah. Harrison, are you next?
I'd like to ask whether the mailer, just make sure the mailer wasn't included with the ballot. It's just that the mailing was timed to arrive at the
right.
same time.
Exactly.
And
Jane?
While there was nothing on the air.
No, I just wanted to emphasize for the record, which I don't know if any of us are keeping, but I think that issue about timing is crucial. whatever was involved in the timing of that particular incident. There's timing issues all along. So I think that when we're looking at the bylaws revisions, those are some timing questions there. You know, these are, you know, more in the implementation side, but these timing questions really make a huge difference. And I think that's a great illustration of how big a difference it can make.
I'd like to add one more fact, and this is not an accusation, it's just a fact. Several staff members went and held a benefit with the people from that slate, which they, wherein they raised the money to do the mailer. It was come and meet your local staff person and donate money to this slate. That was advertised that way. Now, that's not illegal, but politically, you know, raises questions about, you know, it's sort of like in Georgia where the, you know, where they let the Republicans go in and vote on the Democratic primary to get Cynthia McKinney out. I mean, I don't think that's fair, you know, but it's not illegal in Georgia, and it's not illegal here for staff to go out and raise money for a listener slate. But I, politically, it's not cool. But
no,
you know,
we had a good deal of that here too. Yes. All right, I think we're just on time for that. Serene, do you want
Carolyn, this is Ted. I just wanted
Ted.
I think it was Jane who said something a moment ago, and I want to be sure that she's talking about
We're almost out of time, Ted. So.
Well, it's real quick. Timing questions must be raised. Are we talking about the airing of carts? Is that part of what
No, I mean, I just think that all of these are timing issues, and I think that that's a very interesting point that Richard brought up about the timing of that mailer coming before any other. I think all of the issues having to do with timing are very important.
All right. If we want to continue this, we're going to have to extend. Otherwise, we need to move along.
This is LaVarne. I'd like to extend for like 3 minutes.
Are there any objections?
No.
All right. Hearing none, we have 3 more minutes.
And
go ahead, LaVarne.
Thank you. As Richard said, on the whole thing of the carts, that that a list was issued of the cart in terms of the cart rotation when they were played, but the list that was issued, it had nothing to do with how the carts were actually played. So you received this whole list showing cart rotation, and it was not correct. I mean, they were playing carts selectively. After the forum, they played the carts of a slate that the staff supported. So it was, you know, it was just routinely, you know, it's like little things that, you know, that on, you know, overall, a lot of them add up to, like, basically, you know, unfair election. And even in terms of, you know, I know Tracy and Les did the best job they could do, but I think what we really needed is something that the Elections Committee had worked on, which is to bring in an outside group who has lots of experience and have run very successful elections to assist in terms of the election supervisor and getting some of the process done quickly, done efficiently, and so the election supervisor could address a lot of these issues. But the other thing, like I said, was just little things, like even the cart explaining the election was not really accurate. I mean, I think people thought they were voting for the national board. I mean, it was kind of said like that. And in the candidate forums, they tried doing a film, but without really the listeners being able to really talk to the candidates or the candidates really able to express their position on things. So it's just like all those things, little things, added up to like, it was done, but it was unfair. And the other thing is in terms of return the undeliverable ballots for KPSA, I didn't write the numbers down, but I don't know, 75 or so, but we did go through the list, Les had done the list cleanup, where, you know, we'd gotten down from what it was like 10%, 15% of the name.
I believe you had 1,600 returns, 10% at KPFA.
Undeliverable.
Oh, undeliverable. Oh.
Okay. Undeliverable.
I don't know if that's included in that, but I know the list was reduced by 10% because of either undeliverables or mistaken entries in the first place.
Right. We still got some undeliverables at, you know, even with the list cleanup. So I think the elements we really need to address are the undeliverables. But that's it, just to support Richard's report.
Carolyn?
Yes.
This is Ted. I have a question that applies to all five, and I'm wondering if any people who voted obtained their membership by virtue of putting in time as opposed to putting in money. We have a bylaw that says you can get membership by putting in sweat equity. Doesn't say it quite that way. But I don't know that we have a single voter in the Houston area that obtained membership via that approach.
I don't know the stats, excuse me, but I think that is one of the statistics that we need to look at and collect, and thank you for bringing that up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we did have here at KPFK, we did have...
We did, but we don't push those numbers because of privacy, of course. But I can tell you of several that I'm not going to mention names. I know of several people at this...
All right, that's fine. I think it's one of those issues that we need to be adding to the list of things we need to investigate. All right, any more questions on this? I think we're about out of time here. All right, Serene, do you want to talk about WBAI? Serene Roberts, are you on the call? Hello?
Carolyn, why don't you report?
All right, I will do that. We had an extraordinarily difficult time for lots of reasons, and we still don't know if we've met quorum. We had a five-day extension because of the mailing mix-up, and ballots that were mailed from Berkeley on the 13th are just now hitting people's mailboxes Saturday and one or two Friday. And we expect that more will come in. Meanwhile, they'd been issued replacements, and so that caused a great deal of consternation because the replacements had not arrived and so on. So we had a real mix-up and quite a bit of difficulty trying to make sure that people got their ballots. There was a move to extend the time during which people could complain. The original rule had been that if you called in by the 15th about a missing ballot and the supervisor had time to look up and validate your membership, there was a replacement ballot for you at the station until tomorrow noon. Tomorrow noon, the ballots will all be picked up. So we have no idea if we've made quorum yet because no ballots have been picked up yet. And the ballots were... People who didn't get any ballots at all were given a window on Saturday morning to walk in. They weren't told about this, unfortunately, until late Friday. So very few people did that. I think four or five people actually were able to take advantage of that and come in for their new replacement ballots, not the original replacement ballots. Our list has not been cleaned. It is still being in the process, as I heard from... the person who's doing the cleaning, that we should know by tonight how many people we have lost, but there were a number of people who were listed as both staff and listener. They got two ballots, or they got the wrong one. So that's one set of problems. And then, of course, the deduping was never done. The PNB mandated last year that in July of every year when there is an election, there should be a first-class mailing from the station and the returns examined and the list adjusted accordingly. So I understand that the WBAI list is in the worst shape of any of the stations. We had quite a few returns. One of the mailings had at least 300 returns, one of the mailings from groups, and there may have been more. So, and that was just, you know, undeliverables. And that doesn't mean the duplicates or anything else was, you know, counted in that number. So we're waiting still. Our ballot counting is tomorrow, and we're accepting replacement walk-in replacement ballots only. No new ballots tomorrow until noon, and then we'll collect the ballots and the counting will begin. So I hear great things about this software, and I'm really pleased because it sounds like a wonderful advance. But it took an awful lot of work from an awful lot of people to do it, and I think interfered with other things that might have been done. So it was all a trade-off, and it was a very difficult election period. And it's not over yet. Okay, that's about all I have to add. Is Serene on the list or Patty? Anyone want to add to that?
Oh, this is Harrison. I'd like to hopefully humorously dispute one of your assertions, namely that you had the worst of all possible lists. I think maybe we may have that distinction at KPFK.
Fighting for bragging rights over that.
I think they may have you on volume, Harrison.
I was quoting a professional opinion, I'll have you know,
okay.
from the national supervisor. Your problem was confined to the volunteer list.
Okay,
and,
you win.
And ours was quite generalized. It was all over. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're defining splitting hairs here.
Yes. The bottom line is the lists need to be cleaned and fixed, and there's a great deal of work for us to do.
The Fed can't split hairs. He doesn't have that many.
Oh.
Harrison, I think we should let WBAI take that honor of the worst list. Let's just let it go.
Okay.
No, we are not amused.
No, I can understand. We actually had, it was a nightmare here, and I agree with Harrison that many people who received their ballots with the wrong last name may simply not vote because they're not absolutely sure. You know, we haven't actually clarified that. So, no, it isn't amusing. I must say it's really a tragic situation.
I do want to go back to something that Ted, if I have another minute or two, said about the volunteers. Again, the PNB had passed a motion back in, I think, 2 years ago, maybe three, that every station should have a volunteer coordinator responsible to management, and I don't know if we specified that it was paid or not, responsible for maintaining the lists. And, of course, I don't know that we certainly don't at WBAI. We don't have anyone who's specifically responsible for the volunteers, but those lists are always, I think, the shakiest because of the way in which the names are collected and the data is entered. So I think
Don White here.
That is something we need to look at. Yes, Don.
Yeah,
well,
I
also think part of our we should have a recommendation that well in advance of the local election supervisor going into the station, that a member of the staff be identified clearly with the obligation to facilitate and make sure that all of the necessary cards are played and actually be the liaisons with the local election supervisor. During this election, we heard many people with anecdotal comments like, well, a local election supervisors were roaming the hall trying to find someone who would cooperate and that kind of thing. So my own, one of the recommendations is that well before anything gets started, either the general manager, the program director, or someone designate a specific individual who is told you will cooperate with a local election supervisor and help her or him with all of the necessary, you know, infrastructure, carts, you know, statements, airtime. Because at the present time, I know in several signal areas, local election supervisors are actually trying to schmooze cooperation through diplomacy and charm, and that should not be the case.
Carolyn?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ted, I think we are moving into, and I hope we can discuss this, and I hope I'm not out of order by suggesting that we go into issues to be addressed by this committee, and if we can address Roman numeral 1D, policies and procedures, I would like to just weigh in with a thought about something that I think will be brought before, they can be brought before the Bylaws Revisions Committee, if we can not only discuss both bylaws, but at the same time also discuss policies and procedures, because some things belong in bylaws, and as we are going through it, we might also discover that some things are really policies and procedures. And if you don't discuss both simultaneously, then you're hamstrung by only talking about one, and if another seems to be a policy and procedure, and you're not allowed to include that in the report, then you're going to have to revisit certain things you've already discussed. And I would like to
have a
I would like to suggest that on this issue, for example, on the issues of people becoming members via
excuse me, before we go into that, we haven't set an order, but that is your suggestion, if I may stop there. Before we get into the actual discussion, just agree on an order in which to deal with this. Jane, do you have a suggestion about the order?
Yeah, no, I have order? A question relating to the order.
Mm-hmm.
The first two items, I'm not sure I know what they mean. Report from this committee in January, is that kind of just a process question, what we're going to do with these items that follow? Is that what that means?
Yes, that's what I meant. Everybody's the local supervisors are responsible to give reports. The national supervisor will be writing a report, and I thought from this committee we should think about turning in a report from our side of the desk. It's a little bit different perspective.
I like that going first because it's kind of just a procedural sort of thing that hopefully we can put everything into some sort of a framework there right at the beginning. So
Before I get into
Serene, please.
But I'm sorry, I just had a question about number two.
Please.
I didn't understand it. Implementation of motions passed to date. I have no idea what that means.
That was a response to the terrible experience that the national and the local supervisors had, that there were motions on the books, that some of which we had proposed, that the PNB had passed, and there were, as Les put it so nicely, no teeth in them. There was nobody responsible. And a great deal of effort was expended in fighting some passive resistance because there was no reason for anybody to do some of the things that were asked. Things began to move when the PNB passed a motion that made the cooperation with the national and local supervisors part of the evaluation of the general managers. And at that point, things stepped up and they got a lot more cooperation. But I think that we need to re-look at some of the things that we passed. If they had been implemented, they would have been really helpful, and they weren't. And maybe we need to revisit some of those and try to put some teeth in them or assign responsibility and try to go back to the PNB and get those passed. That was my only point that I meant there.
Yeah, thanks. Before we move off of the BAI report, you mentioned that someone is cleaning our list and that you're waiting on a report. You're awaiting a report from them tonight. Who's cleaning our list, and who made the decision to hire that person?
Les Radke.
Who's cleaning our list?
Tracy Rosenberg from KPFA. He had hired someone else, I think, to do part of it, and then I think she was finishing it up. It seems to be a massive job. I remember Les saying that at KPFA, they had to make about 1,000 phone calls to people to do what Harrison described, just check out one by one by one. So it is a large job, and I know they're still working on it, or at least they were earlier today.
Okay, Les hired Tracy Rosenberg to do New York's list.
Correct.
Okay, and is she also doing the list for the other stations?
I have no idea.
Okay. How did you come up?
I don't think all the stations have had the pleasure of having the list cleaned. I think it started with KPFA, and then this committee wanted WBAI and others done. I think there may have been three that had some sort of at least deduping and cleaning various levels of detail.
Okay, I remember the committee talking about having it done at all the stations. That's the motion that I remember. So
right.
Has Mr. Radke decided that one person is doing it consistently? How did you come by the information?
I don't know that. I asked him, and that's the answer I got. So I think it's a question of time. It's much more time-consuming, I think, than anybody thought. And, of course, if we had done in July what the PNB mandated, which was each station mail out a first-class mailing and dedupe the list that way, that would have considerably shortened the problem. Pardon? Sorry.
I'm sorry, but it's just getting so late.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I'm sorry to digress. Now, the issues here, we have suggestion that we begin with D and then with A, and any other suggestions for order?
Carolyn? Carolyn, this is Ted. I think we better finish. I did suggest that earlier, but I think I support the idea of a report from this committee in January. I am assuming, no, I'm not assuming that you are going to be here in Houston where the national board meeting will be held in January. If you're not, you have two members from Houston, Melinda and myself, who would be in a position to take the written report and share it and, I guess, answer questions if there were any.
Are you supporting, then, that we begin with A instead of D?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have one request.
Yes, Jane.
I request that we move B, implementation of motion passage 8, to the end.
B to the end. Well, I would kind of object because some of them are really crucial. But it depends on how far away the end is, I guess. But all right, we'll put that into the hopper. Any other suggestions for order of priority?
I would like to do C and D together and hopefully just refer that to the working group.
Yes, I hope, excuse me, if I may, that we, as we consider these issues, we consider the mode of address. How can they best be addressed? By an individual, a work group, a collaboration, or the entire committee? That would be helpful. All right, so we have a suggestion that we do A and B, and then C and D together.
I thought B, I would suggest that we do B after C and D.
After C and D, at least, if not to the end. All right, we can vote on where to put it when we come to, when we finish A, perhaps, because we're all agreed on A, to begin with A, is that correct? All right, now I didn't set a complete time limit for this, but maybe we could be very brief, and can we agree on perhaps 5 or 10 minutes for each of these items, if that? Is anybody still here?
We're all here. Just go. Give us the report on what you have in mind on the report from this committee.
Well, I just looked at all the things down below. For instance, the data, number E, collating data and information, the kinds of questions that came up tonight, they will be in all of the individual reports, so maybe January will be premature for that because we won't have time to look at the local supervisors' reports and get it finished in time for the PNB meeting, but it's not impossible. And a lot of us have information that we could be collecting that other people might be interested in. I thought that would be perhaps one person or a small group, and I didn't put even this down on a list, but in my mind, there is a web page devoted to the elections and information about this year's elections.
Oh, this is Jane.
Yes, Jane.
I just realized that actually these kind of look like the framework for the report. I'm a little slow here. So items B through J kind of looks like your outline for the report. Is that?
Oh, well, that's an interesting thought. Maybe you're reading my mind. I wasn't consciously aware of that, but they could be in there. Although I think G is going to be a huge problem, the definition of staff membership.
Carolyn, this is Ted.
Yes, Ted.
I think that this is pro forma. This committee, like every committee of the national board, should be given an opportunity to report at the national board meetings. We will have another meeting in December,
mm-hmm.
and as many of these issues as we address in this committee is what we should report orally in addition to the minutes and perhaps any working group
mm-hmm.
reports. We can highlight certain things. My question is, I think we're reinventing the wheel to ask the question, should there be a report from this committee to the national board? I think that's an automatic. You have to give a report of this committee. The question is, who's going to give it? And if you're going to be here as chair, you should be the one to give it. If you're not,
Don White here.
Then somebody
yes.
else has to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Don.
Well, I agree with Ted that we must make a report. I don't think there's any entity that has followed this more closely and been more connected to Les Radke and to others. So I think we do need to make the report. I think the report, now I hate to put it on the shoulders of the chair, but I think the report should be initially written by the chair. And when Ted asks who's going to give it, I mean, it should be a written report that can be delivered to the board by whomever. It doesn't make any difference to me. But I think the chair should write the initial report and submit it to the committee, and then we refine it. And the refined edition after the refinement goes to the board.